appreciate Jason leading that song. It's a beautiful one, isn't it? Expresses a very vital truth we need to know and appreciate. The fact that there's some things that are found only in the Lord. You'll have a sheet of paper. You might like to draw your circle. Allow this circle to represent the Lord. And within the circle, we're going to place a number of benefits that are found only in Thee, O Lord. The first thing I want to point out to us is the fact that only in Thee is peace. In the song that we just sang, did you notice that first stanza? Only in Thee, O Savior mine, dwelleth my soul in peace divine. Peace that the world, though all combined, never can take from me. In John 16:33, the text beneath the song's heading is recorded a statement from Jesus himself. These things I've spoken unto you, that in me, what's the rest of that, Lord? You might have peace. When Paul wrote the Romans in chapter 5 and verse 1, he said, therefore, being justified, who is it that justifies? How is it that we're justified? By faith. We have peace with God through whom? Our Lord Jesus Christ. In Thee, that is in Christ, we can have the kind of peace described in Philippians 4 and verse 7 as peace that passeth all understanding. But then there's a second thing that can only be found in Christ, and that is rest. You like that word? Rest. You've been working hard and you come home and you lay your head on the pillow and rest. How about spiritual rest? The second verse of this hymn that we just sang says, there is a sweet pavilion of rest. Where is this sweet pavilion? Only, dear Lord, in Thee. This circle represents a pavilion. A sweet pavilion of rest. In Matthew 11 and verse 28, Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that are troubled. Remember that? And I'll give you rest. Rest. Only in Thee can we find rest. A third thing that can only be found in Christ, another R word, redemption. The word redemption suggests to purchase. In Christ, we are a purchased possession. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 24, Paul penned these words, therefore, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption. Where's redemption, Paul? That is in Christ Jesus. Writing the Ephesians in chapter 1, he talks about in Christ and says in verse 7, in whom, what do we have in whom? We have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Somebody said, what is redemption? Here's a good definition of it. It's the forgiveness of sins. You need your sins forgiven? You need to be redeemed? Where does that happen? Only in Thee. Only in Christ. In 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19, Peter wrote these words about it. For as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Outside of Christ, apart from the blood of Christ, there can be no redemption. Next, number 4. Only in Thee is sanctification found. Sanctification. What's that word sanctification mean? To be set apart. In 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 2, the Apostle Paul, writing the church at Corinth, used some words to describe these special people. You know what those are? He referred to them as the church of God, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. You might underscore the church of God, sanctified, saints. Where does sanctification take place? In Christ. Only in Him are we set apart from our uncleanness to be holy, called to be saints. If you're in Christ today, you're a saint. And that's a special word. But also, number five, only in Christ can hope be found. Hope. That's what got me out of bed this morning. What got you up? Well, if the Lord allows the sun to come up in the morning and you to breathe into your nostrils the breath that gives you life, what will it be that gets you up out of bed in the morning? Hope? What keeps you going? It's this four-letter word. And it's connected to the resurrection of Christ. That's what gives life to your hope. When Paul wrote in the context of there not being a resurrection, in answering the Corinthians, some were saying there is no resurrection of the dead. He said in 1 Corinthians 15:19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. But notice he talked about hope in Christ. Hope in Christ. What is it that keeps us from being miserable? You know, some people are miserable, aren't they? Look at them. Look at the countenance on their face. Listen to how they talk. See what they do. They're miserable, aren't they? Why? They don't have any hope. Their hope is just in this life. Ours is beyond. You know, when Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, talked about it, he said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope. It's not a dead hope, it's a living hope, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And so, as we sometimes sing, up from the grave He arose, we're able to spring out of bed of a morning. Right? Because we have hope. It's hope of eternal life, which God promised before the world began and cannot lie. Titus 1 and verse 2. Something else found only in Christ. Number 6. It's a new creature. Daniel read to us so well from Ephesians 2:10 that if you're in Christ, remember that? We are created in Christ Jesus. We're His workmanship. Workmanship. You appreciate fine workmanship, don't you? I like workmanship. You might drive by something that a lot of work was involved in. That's a nice piece of workmanship. Right? There's no finer workmanship in all the world than what has been created in Christ Jesus. A new creature. The text is 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. When Paul said, therefore, if any be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. Isn't that an encouraging statement? Colossians 3 talks about that idea when he discusses being risen with Christ, how that you put off the old man. This old creature was an angry creature. He was a creature characterized by wrath and malice and blasphemy and filthy communication. Pretty ugly fellow, wasn't he? Lying. What happened to that old man? He's passed away. Got a new creature now. New man. Put on the new man. What a beautiful picture. Verse 12. He is holy. Beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing, forgiving one another. characterized by charity or love. Quite a difference. You might see somebody and you think, man, they just awful to be around. Terrible. Something changed in their life. Best person I've ever met. That's like a fella that told me he had somebody working for him. He said before he was ever converted, before he became a Christian, he said nobody wanted to be around him. He's the worst fella at work. He said after he obeyed the gospel, he said he's the best worker we ever had. Everybody enjoyed being around him. What made the difference? Only in Christ. He's a new creature. Things changed. And that can happen for you. And other people. People you work with. This was a fellow that was an employee of his. He says the best worker, co-worker, after he learned the truth and obeyed the gospel. Only in thee. It's a good passage. Colossians 3, you might read that. Look at the before and after. Ask yourself, who am I like? Who do I want to be? Next. Only in thee, only in Christ, is reconciliation found. Reconciliation. What's that mean? To reconciliate. That is, to bring back together. That term suggests that there are two people that have been estranged. They've been separated from one another. Sometimes that happens between brethren. Remember the Lord in the mountain sermon said that you come to bring your gift and you're at odds with your brother. He said go and first be reconciled to your brother. Before you can worship acceptably, you need to straighten things out with your brother. Sometimes it's husbands and wives that need to be reconciled, brought back together again. 1 Corinthians 7, 10, 11. He talked about, let not the wife depart from her husband, but if she depart, let her remain married, unmarried, or be reconciled to her husband. So she needs to get back with her husband. But in this passage, in this sense, we're talking about being reconciled to God. We've left the Lord. Sin has created space between us, separated. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. And because of that, we need to be brought back to Him. Where does that happen? Only in Thee. Only in Christ. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 with me. In chapter 5 and verse 19, Paul said, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. And in his words to the Ephesians in chapter 2 and verse 13, he said, but now in Christ Jesus, where? In Christ. Ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ, for he is our peace. Then verse 16, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. And so when you're in Christ, you're reconciled to God. You're nigh to God. If you're outside of Christ, you're way off yonder. But then, again, come with me to the book of Galatians, chapter 2 and verse 4. Paul said, and that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privily. That is, they kindly came in under the radar, slipped in. To spy out our what? Number 8. Liberty. Paul, tell us about that liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus. Would you like to have liberty? Who wants to be in bondage when you can have liberty? You can be free. Liberty is found only in Christ. In John 8 and verse 32, Jesus said, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now drop down to verse 36. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Liberty, freedom, only in thee. Number 9, But you know there's so much found only in Christ. And by the way, you can't find any of this anywhere else. All, you know what I'm going to say? Spiritual blessings only in thee. Now, there's some blessings, the physical blessings, that come upon all of us alike. Like the rain that fell down today. You know who that fell on? The just and the unjust. When the sun shines, he makes it to shine on the just and the unjust. So God's physical blessings are received by all mankind. But there are some special blessings that are reserved for those in Christ. The only place you can access them are in him. Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Where are they? Only in thee. In Christ. In Christ. And these blessings, just like the psalmist said back in Psalm 40 and verse 5, are more than can be numbered. You get down, you get discouraged. Think about the problems of life. Think about this statement, Psalm 40 and verse 5. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. That's the song, Count Your Many Blessings. Get you a sheet of paper out. Write them down. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. All spiritual blessings are in Christ. Number 10. Have we left anything out? How about the promise of life? You know, the wages of sin is death. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Writing Timothy in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 1, Paul said, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. Where's the promise of life? It's in Christ. This book talks about life and death. Oh, not just physical life, physical death, but spiritual life, spiritual death. That's what we're talking about. In 1 John 2 and verse 25, he said, this is the promise that he hath promised us. What is that promise? Even eternal life. And then in chapter 5 and verse 11, he tells us where it is. And this is the record that God hath given to us, he's talking about Christians, eternal life. Where is it? This life is in his Son. So if I'm not in Christ, I don't have the promise of life. See, I have death to look forward to. Because it's only found in him. Number 11. Grace. You need grace? Absolutely. The word means favor. It's used sometimes of the favor of man. And we like to have man's favor, but often used of God's favor. That's whose favor we're really after. And it's really important that we find his favor because it's saving favor. Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are you saved. So, apart from grace, we can't be saved, can we? Now, we've got a little question we need an answer to. Where's this grace found? Look at 2 Timothy, chapter 2 and verse 1. Paul said, my son, make a good lesson what Paul said to his son. He referred to Timothy as his son in the faith. And he said, be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. Grace. Out of Christ, you're out of grace. Right? See that? And so, that leaves one more for us. Number 12. I picked out a dozen. You know there are a dozen? 12 things found only in Christ. Salvation. 2 Timothy 2:10. Paul said, therefore I endure all things for the elect's sakes, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. salvation's in Christ. Peace, rest, redemption, sanctification, hope, a new creature, reconciliation, liberty, all spiritual blessings, promise of life, grace, salvation. Summed up in three words, only in thee. Now, what I hope to accomplish with this very study is several things. One is if a person's not in Christ, that he'll want to be. That you'll be motivated to ask, what do I need to do that I can be in the Lord? Second, if you have been in the Lord but you've left Him, you've gone astray, that you want to come back. And third, that if you're in the Lord, you want to stay put. You won't want to leave Him. Now, for those who've not entered the Lord, you're not in Christ. How do you do that? According to 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 15, you are begotten in Christ through the gospel. That's what Paul said. I've begotten you in Christ through the gospel. I brought you forth. That word beginning suggests the planting of seed. God's word is seed, Luke 8:11. That's what happened in Acts 18 when Paul went to Corinth. And the Bible says in Acts 18, verse 8, many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. That's how they were begotten in Christ through the gospel. Also, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13 says, by one Spirit are we all baptized into Christ. That's how you get into Him. You're begotten through the gospel, you're baptized into Christ. Now, once you've been begotten through the gospel, baptized into Him, all of these advantages are yours that can be found nowhere else. In no one else, in nowhere else, only in Thee. Now, once I'm in Christ, I need to abide in Him. I need to stay put. John chapter 15 is the abiding chapter of the New Testament. Jesus likens us to branches, and He's set forth as the vine. He said that, I'm the vine, you're the branches. And verse 4 says, abide in Me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except you abide in Me. You take a branch that becomes disconnected from the vine, it's going to be lifeless. It's going to be dead. It can't be productive or fruitful. That's how you are. That's how I am. When we leave the Lord, we quit abiding in Him. Next, we've got to walk in Him. In Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, Paul said, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Walk. Life is a walk. And so we got two things here. If you're not in the Lord, you need to enter Him. If you're in Him, you need to stay put. If you've left Him, you need to return. You need to come back home. Like the prodigal, remember him? Luke 15 tells the story of three lost things. One was a lost son. He went into a far country. That's where you are when you leave the Lord. You've gone into a far country. And you need to resolve to come home. You need to say, I've sinned. You need to realize what you've left. Who you've left. Realize the message behind this song, only in Thee. And so wherever you've gone, you've separated yourself from all this stuff, these good advantages. And then one final thing I want you to think about. And that is when you die. If you'll, through the gospel, be begotten, by the Spirit be baptized, and you abide, you stay put, you walk. Or if you've left, you come back. and you stay put, when you die, you know what's going to happen? Revelation 14 and verse 13 says, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. Your death will be blessed. And you'll be at rest from your labors. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, when Paul talked about the resurrection, there were those who were concerned about their loved ones who had passed on. He said, 1 Thessalonians 4:13, sorrow not as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus. What does it mean to sleep in Jesus? It means you've died in Christ. Will God bring with Him? You see, when you sleep in Jesus, you go the way of all the earth. What's going to happen? You're going to be blessed. But if you're not in the Lord, you're in your sins. He said, whither I go, you cannot come. Now, maybe that you've left the Lord. You're dead spiritually. It's time to wake up. You aware of that? And come home. So what's our situation this afternoon? If you're not in the Lord, you know how to get there. Are we staying put? Or if we're not what we ought to be, we need to return so as to abide and walk, so that when we die, we can be blessed. Appreciate the good way that you listen. We're going to sing a song of invitation. Won't you come now while we sing?